I'm Jonathan Capehart, here today for Leonard Lopate, and this is WNYC and WNYC.org. The history of fashion is a fascinating and little-known field that has a profound effect on people's everyday lives. If your understanding of menswear, with its odd origins and arcane rules, is cause for a little anxiety about what to wear and how to wear it, rest assured that you're not alone. In his new book, True Style, The History and Principles of Classic Menswear, former fashion editor for Town & Country, G. Bruce Boyer, has written some background information and advice for those looking to augment their style or satisfy their curiosity. It's published by Basic Books. And any of you out there who are interested in the history of the ascot or the proper occasion for a pocket square, we invite you, our listeners, to join the conversation. What questions do you have about menswear? Or, if you're more daring, how do you describe your style? You can call us at 212-433-9692 or write to us on our show page at WNYC.org or on Facebook or Twitter, where our handle is at Leonard Lopate. Mr. Boyer, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Jonathan. And by the way, I should say I'm not sure that there's any advice in the book that you need, because I'm taking a look at you and you're very well turned out. So,
well, thank you. Well, thank you. I mean, I'm going to interview a style maven, a men's style maven. I better tart up a bit.
That's funny.
I would think.
The other thing I wanted to say before we get started is I want to apologize for my voice. Allergy season started a week ago. And normally, I think I sound like a kind of mellifluous combination of Cary Grant and a hummingbird, but today I'm all fogged in, so I apologize to you and the audience.
If this is fogged in, I think we'll all be startled in a great way by what your normal voice is. You sound great.
You're too kind.
You sound great. So you claim that men's fashion has changed very little in the last few hundred years. Why is that?
Yes. Well, people are surprised when I tell them that the three-piece suit started, and we can date this to not only a precise year, but to a precise day. The three-piece suit started in 1660. Now, I can't remember the exact date, but There was a famous diary written in the middle of the 17th century by a guy named Samuel Pepys, and he was in the government, and he would go to hear the king speak, and it was King Charles II of England, and one day he went there in 1660. I think it was in the spring. I think it was in May, and the king suddenly declared that he was not going to wear hose and a doublet anymore. He was going to wear a coat and a vest and longer pants. And that really was the beginning of the three-piece suit. Now, we can jump ahead a bit, because that three-piece suit didn't really look like what we were wearing today. You know, it was three major pieces, but it wasn't what we would think of. But what we wear, what you and I would wear today, is the result of changes that happened right after, I would date it right after the American Civil War. Mm-hmm. So the 1870s, and there have been very few changes in the way that suits are actually constructed since then. There are some production techniques, and there have been a lot of changes in fabrics. But the style, the way a collar is put on a jacket, the way sleeves are put on, really hasn't changed much. So the suits had an awful long run of it.
Mm-hmm. So, okay, you mentioned Charles II. Another person who figures prominently in menswear history is George Beau Brummel.
Yes.
Talk about him.
Yes. A product of the Regency period in England from, let's say, 1790 to 1815, which was the Battle of Waterloo. Brummel came from a not aristocratic household. He was not royalty or anything like that. He was, I think, the first fellow. He may be considered the first celebrity in a sense because he made his way in the world not through bloodlines or great wealth or anything like that, but through style. He had incredible style. It was said that the Prince of Wales, who later became George IV, actually would go to Brummell's house and sit in his bedroom while Brummell got dressed because he wanted to see how Brummell tied his tie and how he, you know, what combination of clothes he put on and so forth. He was, for a long time, the Prince of Wales, who became Prince Regent of England, was absolutely devoted to this man, and it made Brummell's fortune. The unfortunate part is that Brummell had two loves. One was clothes, and the other was gambling. Mm. And at one point, he lost it all and had to leave the country to avoid debtors. So that finished it. But yes, he was
important. I'm Jonathan Capehart, in today for Leonard Lopate, and I'm speaking with G. Bruce Boyer about his new book, True Style, The History and Principles of Classic Menswear. You mentioned Beau Brummell's style, and the Prince of Wales at the time, who loved, became devoted to him, but watch him get dressed.
Yeah.
You say that there is a difference, and I agree 100%.
Yeah.
There's a difference between fashion and style.
Oh, yeah, I think so. You know, I kind of think what Oscar Wilde at the end of the 19th century said about fashion. It's something so ridiculous that it has to be changed every season because people wouldn't put up with it longer than that. Fashion is a matter of having the wherewithal to buy what is trendy today. It has no shelf life. It has no longevity. I mean, that's the whole purpose of it. Mm-hmm. If it had shelf life, it wouldn't be fashion. Style is much more an individual thing. It's a person who takes what's out there, fashionable or otherwise, and bends it to his own personality, which is what I think is interesting. And in the writing that I've done for Town and Country and other people, that's what I've advocated. You know, you can't beat the old ancient Greek dictum, know thyself. You should know your assets and your liabilities. You know what you can wear and what you can't wear. What's your lifestyle? I mean, if some designer comes along and says, well, you ought to burn your old wardrobe and buy these new tuxedo jackets. Well, but the reality is maybe you don't need tuxedo jackets, or maybe they don't look good on you, or, you know, maybe mm-hmm. it doesn't fit your lifestyle. But people do that. You know, every season, designers say, burn your old wardrobe and buy this new stuff. I think that's it's foolish in a number of ways, but probably the most foolish way is that it's very expensive.
Mm-hmm.
Very expensive to shop that way. I never in my writing, people think that fashion writers, and this is true of most of them, are really just selling clothes. I've never believed in that. My approach has always been understanding clothes, what they are, how they fit into your life, not selling clothes.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of how clothes fit, we have Robert in New Jersey who has a question for you about pants, I think it is. Robert, you're on the line.
Yeah, hi. It seems that the of men's pants nowadays are meant to sit low on the waist, or, you know, like sort of low on the waist. I don't understand why it's so hard to find pants that are supposed to sit higher on the waist, or I guess like at the waist. It's really comfortable, and it seems like nobody makes them. I don't know why that is.
Okay.
Thanks, Robert.
I love your question because I have good news for you. the low rise. You know what I mean by rise? It's the distance between the crotch and the waistline.
Mm-hmm.
That little low rise, which used to be like 6 or 7 inches, you couldn't even get them up to your hips.
I know, they're so ridiculously low.
The good news is it's over. It's only crazy fashionistas who were wearing that kind of thing. If you go to the Italian trade shows, Pitiomo and things like that, you still see guys doing that. But the good news is that it's over. The really stylish, progressive guys that I see are wearing trousers that sit on the hips. On the hips, pleats are back.
What?
Pleats are back? I'm sorry.
I just had a conversation the other day where we were just denigrating pleats.
No. A looser, easier fit around the waist and the hips, but narrow legs, which makes a very nice trouser. It gives you a longer leg line.
Mm-hmm.
It makes you look taller.
Oh, my God, you've just rocked my world about this pleats thing.
I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said it. Shall I leave now?
No, Bruce, but I want to take this call from Gregory in Harlem because it's also on pants. Well, yeah, pants. Gregory, you're on the line.
Well, hi there. What you just described to me, especially, I don't understand the pleats part, but the things that you're talking about, the skinny pants, those are slacks. Those aren't trousers.
Uh-huh.
Not to me. I guess I may be old-fashioned. A few years ago, when Broadway Empire came on the air, I started running out and buying every single double-breasted suit I could possibly find on the market. And I always believed that you know, a man dresses with a pair of trousers that have pleats that can be worn with a belt and/or the braces. And that's my personal style.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that if one has style, and always shine your shoes, of course, that's the thing that's gone out of fashion these days, especially in New York City. But if you wear, you know, well-designed shoes and a good-looking suit, and you stand up straight, that will make you taller, look taller. Not a pair of skinny pants, especially in the summertime here. Why would you not want to have some trousers that, you know, push some air around your legs?
Well, that is a good question, Gregory. Let's get an answer for Bruce.
All right. Well, first of all, I don't think I actually said skinny trousers. I think I said narrow. Now, tell me this, if you're still there, do you know the width of your trouser at the cuff?
At the cuff?
Yeah.
Is it 9 inches?
9 inches? All right.
Yes.
That's what in tailor's terms, we would say 18 inches because you double that.
Okay,
well,
fine.
I'm advocating a narrow cuff would be actually. If yours are 9, I would say a narrow cuff would be 7.5. So that's an inch and a half at most. That's not really skinny. That's slightly narrower. Mm-hmm. And the idea is simply, you know, the style of clothing is constructed to deceive the eye. Almost none of us have perfect figures, but we want to have the ideal figure. So maybe we'll have a little pad in our shoulder. Maybe we'll have a little more fullness in the chest, and we'll taper the trousers to make us look a little taller. But no, I'm not talking about skinny trousers.
Oh,
that's what's in now.
Well, yeah, and
no, I'm saying that's over.
And Gregory, thanks for your call, Gregory. Bruce, this is what I want to get to, because this is what I thought when I first saw skinny in Gregory's note here, skinny jeans. I mean,
yeah,
I tried. Because I figured I'd try a pair of skinny jeans. Yeah. I could not get them past my knees.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Yes.
Will they go the way of, what did you say that is now on the way out? Oh, the low rise.
Low rise.
Will the skinny jean and the skinny pant go the way of the low rise?
I think so. You know, it happens gradually. I mean, first of all, it's the hipper, more progressive young guys who make the changes. But I what I note is that their trousers are a little fuller, a little higher in the waist. I still see that they're a little short for me. I like my trouser to touch the shoe.
Oh, I have questions for you about that, but keep going.
Okay. But I think they are going to be a little wider. Not this season. Interesting enough, what I see, if you go to the fashion shows or look at the magazines, the male models are like the female models. They're these emaciated. They look like 12-year-old waifs. You know, it's absolutely crazy. I mean, the French recently have made a law where you can no longer do that.
Mm-hmm.
But we're the world of fashion, you know, is like a country of its own. It's still doing that. But that is changing. Absolutely.
You know, we're going to have to take a break in a second here. But I do want to talk to you about specific designers. Two I have in mind in particular, but I don't want to give it away because I want people to come back after the break. And then I want to get into some of the rules. I'm a bit of a nanny on Twitter about kind of fashion rules.
The devil is in the details. There's no question.
I'm talking with talking fashion, clearly, with G. Bruce Boyer on today's Please Explain. He's a former menswear editor for Town & Country, and his feature articles have appeared in Esquire, Harper's Bazaar, The New Yorker, and more. His latest book is True Style, The History and Principles of Classic Menswear, which is published by Basic Books. If you have a question for him about fashion or how to dress or basically anything, it seems, Bruce, give us a call at 212-433-9692. You can also leave a comment on our show page or tweet to @LeonardLopate. We'll have more after a break. I'm Jonathan Capehart in today for Leonard Lopate. This is WNYC and WNYC.org. I'm Jonathan Capehart here today for Leonard Lopate, and this is WNYC and WNYC.org, and we're talking fashion. Fashion with G. Bruce Boyer about his new book, True Style, The History and Principles of Classic Menswear. I mentioned we were going to talk about designers. There is one person who you say and who you pay a lot of attention to in your book, and that's Giorgio Armani.
Right.
Why is that?
Well, I think, you know, a lot of designers, particularly menswear designers, they're really not designers in the sense that they invent a new silhouette or a new look. What they do is they take things that are there and they refine them. I mean, I've always thought that in menswear, I can't speak about women's wear, but in menswear, Ralph Lauren is not so much a designer as the world's greatest editor.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he just has such a high taste level that he understands how to edit things beautifully. But Armani did do something different. In the 60s and the 70s, Armani actually took the men's suit, which was kind of heavy and stiff and drab looking, and it's a common word now, but it was first applied to Armani. He deconstructed it.
Mm-hmm.
He took the shoulder pads out and the thick chest pieces and all of that stiffening that mm-hmm. went into a garment. You know, I mean, suits used to be able to stand up by themselves. You know, they were so thick and heavy. Armani got rid of all of that. He used fabrics that were only used in women's wear, boucles, and very soft tweeds and linens and things like that. He was really the first guy who did that. I think you really have to give him an enormous amount of credit, because what we have today, the Italian look of deconstructed jackets, you mm-hmm. know, they're constructed more like shirts,
mm-hmm.
you know. Armani started all of that in the 1960s, and I think he really deserves the credit for making men more interesting looking, you know, and more comfortable
mm-hmm.
and more so.
You have a whole chapter on Italian style, but there's another designer I want to talk about who I think, and you tell me if you think I'm wrong, because you mentioned short pants.
You're going to surprise me now.
The pants are coming.
Yeah.
They're a little short for your taste,
yes.
And they're a little short for my taste. But Tom Brown.
I knew you were going to say Tom Rapp.
And Tom, that's an. I mean, yeah. that started showing up before I left the city in 2007. So now we're mm-hmm. at 8 years
yep.
plus
yeah.
of, I would call it the Tom Brown effect on men's
right.
fashion, where
right.
the pants are narrower and shorter. The
yes.
jackets are
very
more
short
fitted
and tight.
Shorter.
Yeah. Yep.
What is your view on Tom Brown and the impact he has had on men's fashion?
Well, exactly. I think if you had to pick one contemporary designer, a younger guy, and Tom is still a young mm-hmm. man, I think that Tom Brown would be the guy. I mean, there are other young contemporary designers that I like, but I think Tom Brown has been the most influential. I'm not the kind of person, I mean, with my age, for one thing, I'm an older guy. I don't look good in his look. And I think it takes a very young, mm-hmm. A very thin kind of hip kind of guy to wear it. But I'll tell you, he has made all of us shorten our jackets a bit.
Yes, which is wonderful.
Yeah.
Shorten the jackets a bit, but
yep.
also
and
narrow.
Yes, narrow the trousers a bit. Now, as I said, I don't think that the short rise aspect of it is going to last much longer.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm hoping that the short trousers don't last much longer. But the narrow leg and the shorter jacket are his entirely. Mm-hmm. And I think, in a way, he's like Armani in that he has changed the silhouette completely of men's clothing, and I think he deserves a lot of credit.
You know, Joe in Long Island has a question about suits. Joe, you are on the air.
Hi.
Go ahead, Joe.
Hi, my name is Joseph Pantoliano, and I'm just curious as to where you can get a nice suit in Manhattan that doesn't break the bank. I'm a young professional.
Oh.
Thanks a lot, Joe.
Gee, you know, it is difficult. I grant you that. First of all, and the other thing is, I don't know. I don't think it's really proper of me to advertise anybody. I understand what you're saying, and it is a real problem. I think I'd prefer not mm-hmm. to, give anybody any free advertising.
Well, that's
understandable. If you don't mind.
Oh, no, that's fine. You don't have to do that.
The other reason is because if I mention somebody,
right.
then all the other guys are going to be angry with me.
Right, but no one will be angry with me if I mention to Joseph.
Please.
Take a look at J. Crew, who does, incredible suits at a great price point, especially for young professionals. But also take a look at Suit Supply, which is another outfit where you can go in and, unlike J. Crew, you can go there, talk to someone, and they'll narrow the legs on your trousers. They'll do all sorts of things with their in-house tailors. And so you can go and just take a look. I mean, people, I'm thankful in this age of people wearing yoga pants everywhere and shorts on planes and stuff. Don't get me started.
No,
that
me
there's
too.
An outfit out there where people can walk in and at a reasonable price point get a phenomenal suit.
Well, Jonathan, thank you very much for taking me off the hook.
I've probably gotten myself in trouble, but that's okay.
I would have said the same thing. I just didn't want it coming from me, but thank you for taking me off the hook. And you're absolutely right.
Let's go to Bailey in Manhattan. You're on the air, Bailey.
Hi. Basically, what I wanted to add, and that more or less agrees with the author, is that the men's clothing is rather boring. I mean, if you really have to go out, what choices do you have? You know, you have to dress up in a suit. You know, you can't. What can you do? I mean, what else are you going to have? You know, mm-hmm. it's a suit, it's a tie, the bow tie. Not a lot. And I think that's why the men designers are limited. Well, I mean, like you said, you know, they change
right.
the material, right? They can't really go too crazy. I think the Victorian era, if you look at it, had a lot more to offer. And it was a little bit more flamboyant, obviously. But, I mean, it gave mm-hmm. people more style.
More style.
You know?
Let's see what Bruce has to say.
Well,
thanks, Bailey.
I mean, in a way, you're right, and there are, I think, all sorts of alternatives, like, you know, suede blouson jackets and that kind of thing. But I happen to be a great advocate of tailored clothing, and my feeling is that it needn't be dull within the parameters of what it is. You know, when you think about it, and I don't mean to wax philosophical here, but every game has its rules. You know, if you're playing basketball, if you simply pick up the ball and run down the court with it, kicking everybody out of your way, that's one thing. But you have to play by the rules. And there are certain rules to what we still think of as appropriate dress.
Mm-hmm.
And for example, this season, what I've noticed is that colorful tweeds are coming back in sports jackets. Bold plaids, bold checks. I mean, wonderful things in wonderful colors. And I think you can do a lot with that.
There's a caller here who, here we go. Eva in Larchmont, speaking
Hi.
Of color and things, you're on.
Yeah. Yes. Hi. I was the only white person at a black Jamaican wedding, and I just was blown over by how colorfully the men were dressed. I've attended some Jamaican evangelical churches, and again, when the men came in, they blew me away with their style. And I'm a 72-year-old woman, so it's not like I'm up to date and all of that. I just think it's sad that men in this country dress so dark and so boringly.
Yeah. Yeah.
And well, I was wondering if you might comment on what is it about our culture?
I mean, let Bruce answer.
Well, the gentleman who had the former question hit the word on the head. I mean, in a way, men are still stuck in a European Victorian mode, you know, dark suits, white shirts, dark shoes, and so forth. But while I'm a great advocate of tailored clothing, I couldn't agree with you more. I think that there are any number of native, if we can call it that, native forms of dress, Indian, African, Caribbean, South American, whatever, that are just marvelous. And I've had the same experience that you've had. I've gone to events with Indian people or Pakistani people or whatever, and they're wearing the most beautiful cotton batik dashikis and all sorts of things, which I don't even know the names of. And I think what's interesting is that kind of thing is what I always tell people about wearing anything. It's attitudinal. You see a guy walk into the room wearing anything, and it's the attitude, you know? And some of these fellas that you're talking about, a Jamaican guy walking into a room with a very colorful outfit on, can look incredibly elegant, more elegant than anything you could imagine. So I would agree with you. And I think, you know, as we become a more global society, that, in fact, is going to happen, and a good thing it does.
All right, Bruce, we're talking with G. Bruce Boyer about his new book, True Style, The History and Principles of Classic Menswear. We've got like 4 minutes left, and I want to go through some rapid-fire things.
Uh-oh.
Real quick, Sharon from the Lower East Side wants to hear what a man-tailored shirt actually is. She says it's a subject of ongoing debate with her friends. Do you even know what that is?
I'm not sure what she's talking about. Man-tailored
shirts.
I think she's talking about a shirt that women would wear, but made like a man's shirt.
So constructed.
In other words, without darts, maybe,
right.
You know, to account for the bust line.
Oh, okay.
I think that's probably what she's talking about.
All right, take that to your friend, Sharon. Okay, another thing, I got into a Twitter, not a fight, but little discussion with someone about men's socks. should the men's sock match the trousers or the shoes or one or the other?
Okay. Let's get my first bête noir out of the way. Socklessness is verboten. You cannot go sockless for a number of reasons. First of all, it's an all too blatant attempt to be cool.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Secondly, it's unhygienic.
Even with the little sock things that don't show?
Well, if you wear the little sock things, it's okay.
But still, rule number one applies.
Yeah, but I was talking about real socklessness. Mm-hmm. And, well, now I forget what the third thing was. But I remember. It's very hard on the shoes. I mean, I see guys, you know, it's all right with tennis.
Right.
Sneakers and so forth. But I've seen guys wear custom shoes sockless. I mean, what a terrible thing to do to those shoes.
Right. All right. Let's fragrances.
Yes.
How? I mean, there are some people who announce themselves like
a block away.
A block away. Yeah. Is there a number of sprays you should spray? Or is it the kind of cologne people are wearing that they should be mindful of?
Yeah. What I have always advocated, and I don't see why this hasn't caught on, particularly since I should be able to make a lot of money advocating this, but I don't, is a wardrobe of scents.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think, for example, in the summertime when it's hot and steamy, you don't want a hot, you know,
a heavy,
musky, tobacco-ish kind of scent. You want something very light and very clean, maybe a little citrusy.
Yeah, like a grapefruit or rose.
Yeah,
maybe,
or a vetiver, you know, lime-lemon kind of thing. In the wintertime, you can wear something a little heavier that you know, takes... That can accommodate the weather, and even in the daytime, you know, for the office, you should only want to give the impression of being clean.
Right, and I got to go, but I got to ask you this last question: if you've got metal things on your shoes, should the metals match? Should brass go with brass and aluminum go with aluminum? Yes or no?
Quickly, yes.
Okay. I've been speaking with acclaimed fashion expert G. Bruce Boyer on today's Please Explain. His latest book, True Style, The History and Principles of Classic Menswear, is published by Basic Books. Bruce, thank you so much for joining us today for this Please Explain. It's been so much fun.
Jonathan, this has been my great pleasure entirely.